All right, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read the first two verses of the book of the first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want us to stand when you find your place and read with me with these words this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of Jesus, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Amen. You can be seated. And we'll pray. Father, give us wisdom today. Lord, give us understanding. Open our minds that we might comprehend what you say to us today. Take a live coal off the altar of God. Lay it upon my tongue, God, this morning, that I might speak as the oracles of God, as if, Lord, this is the last message. May I preach, Lord, like it was the first one with the zeal that I had. And Lord, may I preach it with the thought that it might be the last one. And Lord, that we might somehow declare the Word of God. And Lord, may the hearts of people be open. May the minds and souls of men, Lord, receive the Word of God, that your name might be exalted. We'll give you the praise, the glory, the honor. Oh, Father, you're worthy of all of it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to look at something today that I believe would be a blessing, but at the same time, I want to kind of take my time and kind of get this into your heart. You see, this is one thing I think about quite often. Standing before you every Sunday morning and every Sunday night, and on Wednesday night, God has put you into my charge to preach to you and to tell you what God has to say. And I would not want to stand before God one day as guilty before Him for not telling you the truth. I trust and pray that there not be one that will slip out of the sound of my voice and die and go to hell forever. I trust that everybody I preach to in this congregation and all around, I pray that they'd hear the voice of God and they'd get saved. I don't want nobody to go to hell. Amen. Amen. I say that with all my heart. Now notice, and I'm not going to spend much time on this area, but I want to also use some scripture out of the book of Acts, so you can turn over there and have it ready, and we'll flip back and forth to these two places. In Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28, we'll be dealing in that portion of scripture in just a moment. And I pray that God might have His way as we begin to do this. The Bible said, Paul, called to be an apostle. You remember the other day I told you that an apostle is one who is sent. He's a sent one. A disciple is one that's been taught. He's a taught one. They later became apostles when the Lord sent them out. Go ye into all parts of the world, preach, teach, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They were sent out. And so we find today the Apostle Paul. We believe he's the one to take the place of Judas Iscariot that hanged himself after he had, betrayed the Lord Jesus and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Amen. The Bible said that Judas was a lost man. Teaches us that he was a devil. Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Amen. I'm not intending today to give you anything brand new. I just want to go back over what we've heard before. I want it to get sunk down in your heart. I want you to take what God has said already, and I pray that the Lord might bless your soul. Now, looking at this word apostle, it's also, I told you the other day, a missionary. That's exactly what Paul was. No greater missionary than the Apostle Paul. But let me give you something I wrote down. This is something I said, I believe I'll give you just a little bit more detail of what an apostle is. He's one sent on a mission with credentials as a personal representative of another. You said that's kind of too deep. Amen. That's too much. In other words, he's somebody sent forth to preach and to tell and to represent somebody. Amen. That's got some high credentials. Amen. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're saying this morning that Paul was God's preacher, God's missionary, and God's representative. Amen. But Paul also had some credentials himself. Amen. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's what he said. He said several times in the Word of God, things of that nature. And he tells us that. One of the greatest one I think about is in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Thank God, this morning. So Paul had some credentials when he went forth. Now I want you to look at something with me, please, here in the Word of God. The Bible said in verse number 2, 1 Corinthians, here's what we're going to deal with today. The Bible said, unto the church of God. Underline those words, the church of God. Now that's not a denomination. I want you to notice today he said, the church of God. Now he put a the on it. Amen. That the means it's the only one. Amen. Now he's talking about the only church. We're going to deal with this in just a minute. Now he's not talking about the only church on the earth, but he's talking about the only church, which we call, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, the true church. Amen. And we're going to deal with this thought as we look at it this morning. You remember Paul's job got changed. His attitude got changed. Brother, the Lord Jesus changed him on the Damascus Road. He used to be a representative of the devil. He used to be a representative of Rome. Amen. He followed after Rome and he breathed out threatenings against the church, taking them into prison. But when he got changed on the Damascus Road, he changed, amen, his whole lifestyle. He didn't, but the Lord did. And he took off that from that day forth and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's talking about the church of God. Amen. In verse number 2. Now, that means the one and the only. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's trying to get to. It's not formed by man. It's not instituted by man. It's not made by man. He's talking about a church here that has not been made by men. Amen. Now today, we find churches. There's churches everywhere. Can I tell you today there's a difference between churches and the church? Amen. Churches have been established upon the earth and they've been built, and men have made those buildings, and sometimes they make buildings and put them and call them churches, and the Lord Jesus never comes up in the midst of them, and they just worship, but they don't know what they worship, and they worship other men and things and ideas. But brother, churches are that which man makes. But the church is the church that God established. The church of God is what God has instituted. Amen. I rejoice in the Lord to know that too, don't you? It's the true church. The true church has been established by who? By the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only has it been established by Him, it's been organized by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. It belongs to Him. Brother, He's got the right to do what He pleases with it. Amen. Now, my question is this morning, are you a member of that church? Amen. And I want to talk about that for the next little bit. Amen. There's only one church in the New Testament Scriptures that's going to heaven. There's only one church. Somebody said it's a Baptist. Hold on. Hold on. Amen. Don't jump to conclusions. Dangerous business here. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you, this church that is the only church that's recognized in heaven does not have a name. It does not have a name. It's got a few little things that's put to it. Somebody said, oh, it's a Baptist. It's not a Baptist. Amen. That word church comes from the word ecclesia. That word ecclesia means the called out ones. Have you ever noticed in the Spanish churches they're called iglesia? They call a church iglesia. Comes from that word ecclesia. Ecclesia, I mean. And it comes from that word, which means the called out one. That's what the church is. The church are the called out believers of the Lord. Amen. It means a group of people called out unto a separated place for a common and by a common calling. Amen. We've all been called by the same calling this morning. Now let me just give you something this morning. How do you get to be a member of this church? Turn with me, please, and hold your place here in 1 Corinthians. But turn with me to Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28. Let me get there. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. This is a good place to start. I'll guarantee you this morning the thing about the church. And he says in Acts 20 and 28, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God." There it is again. You see that phrase? The church of God. He's calling it the church of God. He said, "Which he hath purchased with his own blood." So the Lord's given us this morning. Now, look with me. And as I look at this, how do we get into this church? How do you become a member of the church that God's talking about here? The church of God. Now, in most of the churches, they've got their own rules and regulations. How you join? You join a Baptist church. I mean, they'll say, well, you've got to give a profession of faith and be baptized. And so they baptize them. They do more baptizing than they do looking for a profession of faith. And then we find other churches got their ways of joining, and people can join churches, and they've done that, and they've joined this church and that church, and that church again. Sometimes they've been joining the same church three or four times in a lifetime. Amen. Can you imagine that? Well, when it's all said and done, will that get you in heaven? Some people are trusting Baptists to get them to heaven. Some are trusting Methodists to get them to heaven. But it don't work that way. How do you get into the church of God? How do you get into it? Amen. Here's how you get into it. Let me give you the Bible way. Number one, you've got to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Now, God tells us we're without excuse just by seeing the creation. Romans chapter 1, God said you can just look at the stars and all the creation. Amen. Praise God. Just looking at the stars and seeing all those, you say there has to be a Creator. And so there's got to be a Creator. We're a creature. Something's got to be done. And so you can look at that. And God said you're without excuse if you don't have nothing else. But God, in this modern day, in the church age that we're living in, to get into the church, God has laid it out. First of all, He said you're going to get in by hearing the Word of God. Preacher, how am I going to hear the Word of God? Turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter number 10. Back up to Romans chapter number 10. I know you know all this, but I want to go back over it and let you see it in black and white today. It's not what I think about it. It's not even what I say about it. But it's what the Word of God says. What thus saith the Lord is the truth. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. The Bible said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Who is the whosoever? That's anybody that will do it. Anybody that will call upon the name of the Lord, what will he do? Amen. He says in verse number 13, he'll be saved. You've got to call him. He's going to give us the prerequisites of being saved and tells us how that we're going to be a member of his church. Now, he don't just come before and say, "Can I be a member?" Somebody said, "I make a motion." And another said, "I second it." And everybody says, "All in favor." I mean, everybody raises their hand or says, "Amen." And now he's a member. You don't get into Christ's church like that. First of all, you hear the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God, how are you going to hear it? Bible said in verse number 14, Romans 10, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed?" If I have not believed, how am I going to call on somebody I've never even believed on? Amen. And I hadn't heard of. Go on. He said, gives another question, "And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Somebody's got to preach. Then the Bible said in verse 15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good glad tidings of good things." Brother, God said He's called His preachers to preach the Word of God. And as you preach the Word of God, then you listen to and hear the Word of God. You either receive or reject what the man of God said. And by choosing it, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then by doing that, you automatically right then and there are members of Christ's church. He baptizes you into the body of Christ by one Spirit. Amen. He don't take you to the river and dump you in. He don't take you to the baptistry and put you in. But what He does is He saves you and redeems you and puts you in the church right then and there. Amen. So that's what happens. So He does that. Brother, somebody said, I thought we had to be baptized. You do, with the Holy Ghost. Now, to get in the Baptist church, you join the church, we take you down to the river. We baptize you. What's that for, preacher? Is that biblical? Sure, it's biblical. We take you down, put you in the water, raise you back up. We're burying a dead man. Amen. Dead in sin. Amen. Dead to sin. And then we raise you back up as a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the world says, that person has been redeemed by the grace of God. He's going now in the newness of life. But you can go to that baptistry pool, you can go to that river, and come out a wet sinner and still die and go to hell. But brother, you will never go to hell if you ever get to be a member of the church of God. Have I made it plain enough yet? We're going to keep going a little bit more. Brother, we need to look at these things. First thing we do is we hear. We make our choice. We decide what we're going to do. Amen. And then we do it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The church has got many descriptive phrases. And it don't have a name. We put a name here on the church, Bible Way Baptist Church. Somebody else goes down the road, puts a name on their church. But the church that God's talking about here does not have a name per se. It does have some descriptive names. Here it's called the Church of God. In another place, it's called the Church of Christ. And when it says the Church of God, that's not talking about a denomination. When it's talking about the Church of Christ, it's not talking about the Campbellites. Brother, it's not talking about them that believe in baptism for salvation. It's talking about the Christ, the same church that is the Church of God. And He also calls it the Church of the Living God. He also calls it the Church which is His body. He also calls it the Church of the Firstborn. It's all one and the same. Amen. It don't have a particular name for it. Amen. By the way, this church does not have an earthly record. Amen. We have clerks in the churches and they keep up with who comes in and who goes out. And in these modern days, that's a tough job. Amen. Sometimes it looks like the roll gets skinny. They'll come in and sometimes more going out than they are coming in. And we'll see it. And the one dies. They have to take it off the road. But you know, this record of the church here is not kept on this earth. God knows how many there is. It belongs to the church. He knows exactly where they are. He knows everything about them that they don't even know about themselves. But brother, there is no register on this earth of those who are on that book. But thank God, I'm glad He keeps record and I'm on the book. Amen. I rejoice in the Lord for that. And I give praise and glory to the Lamb of God. Amen. God knows whose names are on it. Brother Cry, I want to tell you something. The church, this church that He's talking about here, who's the head? Ephesians says Christ is the head of the church. You believe that? It's what the book said. Well, did you know Christ is the head of the church? But He's got an administrator that does the business. You know who the administrator of the church is? It ain't the preacher. Who's the administrator? The Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit. He's God's administrator over the church. If you want to get anything done, you go to the administrator. The Lord said, you just see my administrator. Matter of fact, the administrator is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit controls the membership. He controls you. He directs you. And the Holy Spirit not only controls you and directs you, but He indwells in you if you're a member of this church. Brother, He's the administrator, but He also does all the business. And brother, all business of the church are to be taken care of and is in God's church taken care of by the Holy Spirit. It ain't a bunch of deacons get together. It ain't a bunch of men that get together. It's not even the under-shepherd. Brother, it's the Holy Spirit of God that directs the affairs of the church. Am I right? Praise God, it's high time we notice these things and paid attention to it. Amen. Well, I believe this morning that we are members who are members of this church have a common theme. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a common spirit. The same spirit that dwells in me dwells in you. I don't have a different spirit dwelling in me than you do. Now sometimes we act like we got a different one. But it is not the Spirit of God that's being brought forth at that time. Sometimes we have the spirit of animosity. Sometimes we have the spirit of wrath. Sometimes we have the spirit of doubt. Brother, those did not come from God. They come from the demonic world. But I want to tell you, everybody in here, if you're saved and a member of His church, the true church, the church of God that we're talking about this morning, you have the same Holy Spirit, the same Holy Ghost. That's why we all speak the same thing and do the same thing. That's why we have the same mind and same, and we're in one mind and one accord. It's because we've got the same Spirit. Now, God won't tell me something and tell you right opposite. Same Spirit that dwells in me tells me something about that book. He'll give you the same answer. He may give you more enlightenment on that verse than He gives me. He may give me a little more enlightenment on that verse, but I'll guarantee you He will not give a foreign answer to the same verse. That's why a preacher can preach in this pulpit and 30 miles down the road preach out of the same verse, and 100 miles north he can preach out of the same verse, and all of us are going to preach basically the same thing. We may say it in a different way, but it's going to be the same meaning, where there will not be different meaning to the same Scripture. Preacher, so if we don't agree on the Scriptures, it's because we're not following the same Spirit. Amen. Got to remember, brother, the administrator is perfect. The Holy Ghost of God is perfect. Amen. Somebody said in the Word of God, there is a literal burning hell. I found it in the Bible. I have to say amen. I found it in the same Bible. And a fellow down the road reads and he said, I have to say amen. It's in my Bible too. Amen. And then here comes somebody and gets him another idea about it and starts following men. And he said, hey, there's no such thing as hell. It's the grave. Well, you can automatically check it out. Brother, it didn't come from the same book. Didn't come from the same Spirit. You know automatically somebody's wrong. You better find out who it is. Is that plain enough? That's why we're to discern the spirits. Amen. Because the spirits do, we have a common spirit. Not only that, we have a common calling. Every one of us that's saved this morning had the same calling. He called us to repentance. He didn't call one for baptism. He didn't call one for good works. He didn't call. We all had the same calling. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Had the same calling. Thirdly, brother, we have the same common fellowship. We fellowship with the same one. I fellowship with God the Father and with His Son, and therefore I can fellowship with you. Amen. We have a common fellowship. Not only that, but we have a common hope. What is our common hope? That one of these days we're going to stand in the very presence of God because we have a common citizenship. We're already citizens of another country. We have a common desire to see the same Lord. We have a common destiny, and it's called heaven. You'll see this morning, everybody at church has the same thing. Now, its membership's made up only of saved people. Did you know that? Made up of only saved people. Nobody that's unsaved will ever go to heaven because they'll never be a member of the church. You can go to hell being a Baptist, but you can't go to hell being a member of Christ's church. Amen. Well, it's made up of the saved. Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible said in verse number 2, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. He tells us something. Brother tells us the members of the church are called saints. That's a big word to preach about. I'm going to preach about it some of these days. Somebody said, a saint I ain't. Amen, you are. You may not look like one. You may not smell like one. Everybody else looks at you and said he can't be a saint. But I'll tell you, God said if you're born in His church, you are a saint. I'm sure He's not pleased with most of us. But listen, He's not looking, amen, like you think He's looking this morning. So when Christ looks at you, what's He see? When God looks at you, what does Christ, or what does God see? He sees Christ. He don't see me. He sees Christ. There's a lot of doctrine there we need to preach, but I don't have time for it. Not only that, but you're saints. Secondly, you're sanctified. Scares some folks to death. Dear old lady in the church, she is saying, I'm glad I'm saved and sanctified and on my way to heaven. She said, hey, we need to be sanctified. She'd get up and testify all the time. So the preacher asked her one day, she went out the church door. He said, ma'am, can you tell me what sanctified really is? He just wanted to know. She said, no, tell you the truth, preacher, I don't know what it means, but the Bible's full of it. So some of you this morning may not know what sanctified is. I'm going to preach on that a little this morning if I get a chance. Don't, I'll get it another time. Sanctified is something that we need to know what sanctified is. The Bible said if you're a member of that church, you are a saint. Number two, it says you're sanctified. Preacher, I didn't know I was sanctified. Well, if you're a member of His church, you are. If you ain't sanctified, or let me just go and say, if you're not sanctified, get that ain't out of there. Amen. If you're not sanctified, that means you're not saved. What, preacher? I ain't sanctified. You're not saved. But now you may not have a clear view of what sanctification is. I'm justified. Somebody said, what's that mean? That's what happens to saints of God when they get saved. They get justified. What's justified? God said, now, you're an old, rotten, hell-bound sinner. You deserve to go to hell, but I have washed you in my blood. I've saved you by my grace. And today I have justified you, and I have made you fit to be in the kingdom of God. You don't deserve it, but I've justified you. And now you're here because you're justified. In other words, you're accepted in the beloved. How come you're accepted? Not because of what you've done, what you have not done, or what you think about doing. It's because He's already done it all for you. See, everything we have is in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. Amen. I'm in Christ. Christ is in God. And then on top of that, to make it all warp your little peanut brain, is Christ is in you. Boy, ain't that hard to figure out. You said, preacher, you explain all that. No, I cannot comprehend it. Brother, my brain wants to swell up and blow up when I get to thinking about all this. But I know it's biblical. Bible. The Bible says we're in Christ. Christ is in God. And Christ is in you and me. I just accept that and I say, Lord, have mercy. What a great big God I've got. And what a little bitty nobody He has. Amen. It's right, isn't it? Amen. Well, this is the only church that'll ever bring any members into heaven. Somebody said, preacher, I'm a church member. Did you know that you can go to hell being a church member? Did you know hell is populated with a lot of church members? Oh, but preacher, I'm a baptized church member. Did you know hell is populated with baptized church members? But preacher, I'm a serious baptized church member. You can go to hell being serious baptized church member. Preacher, I'm earnest. You can go to hell being earnest, serious, baptized, amen, church members. Preacher, I've been a long time church. You can go to hell being a long time serious, amen, a baptized church member. Preacher, I'm a tithing church. You can go to hell being a tithing, baptized, amen, long time church member. Preacher, I carry a King James Bible. You can carry a King James Bible, tithe every day. Be serious minded, baptized, long time, and still die and go to hell being that. That's a church member. Amen. You can just keep on going with that. We think about things. You see, hell is full of people that's never decided and never found out the difference between religion and salvation. People are in hell with religion. Religion will take you to hell every single time. It always does. Then Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, I've got to cover some ground. There's so much here. There's a whole lot of preaching. I mean, my soul is so full of the things that I want to tell you, but I can't tell you because the time is going to get me. Did you know this morning that Paul says that the church in Acts 20:28, look at it, the last four or five words of that verse. Matter of fact, go back to the comma right after God. It said, which He hath, what's that word? Purchased with His own blood, not somebody else's. His own blood He purchased this church. I'm not talking about this building here. I'm talking about this church here, the church of God. Now, we can kind of see a little bit about that. This church belongs to God. It don't belong to man. This is His church. Somebody said, "Preacher, my church." I go up there, that's my church. I hear some of you sometimes say, "Well, over at my church, you get out in the public and you say, well, at my church, we don't do that. I didn't know you had one." I don't have a church. Amen. You don't have a church. Did that bust your bubble? You said, "Preacher, I go to a Bible way back." That's not your church. That, amen, it's a place. Well, you might claim it as yours. And I hope you do. That's where you go to, you know, get your battery charged. That's good. But you don't have a church. It's Christ's church that I'm a member of. Amen. That ought to knock these little silly preachers in the head when they say, "Over at my church, we don't do it that way." Amen. Praise God. We don't have one. What do you do up at your church, preacher? I don't have a church. I'm just an under-shepherd over a little flock. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Hey, timing will get me. I ain't going to have time. Oh, I see it now. Listen. We're talking about this. Did you know today that the Lord has proved a little bit it to us a little bit what He's done? There was back in the Garden of Eden when God made man. What did He do? He made man, and man was walking around, and He saw that man was lonely. He saw that man didn't have no comforter. He looked over and He saw that all the other animals, He made them male and female, and Adam looked at that and said, "Hey, ever one of these animals have got male and female, they've got a companion. I don't have a companion." God said, "I'm going to take care of that." So God performed the first surgery and the first operation. And He used the first anesthetic that anybody could ever use. And He put Adam to sleep. I don't believe he felt a pain whatsoever. And God caused a deep sleep to come on him, and He opened his side and took out a rib, somebody said, and He sewed it up and didn't even have no scar. Now, I'm not going to argue with you about that. God had every right. He didn't even have to cut him open. He could just have done it. I don't know. I'm not going to. Listen, there's too many people going to hell for me to argue about whether he had a scar or not. And I don't know where he's buried. We can't dig him up. It's too late for an autopsy now. And God took out a rib. And everybody's been hollering since then that now man's got one rib shorter than a woman. I guess you've heard that all your life. You ought to go to the medical science. Anybody dealt with medical science? Does a man have one less rib than a woman? Does a woman have one less than a man? Do they both have the same? Yes, sir! So that's not, I'm not going to argue with that either. I mean, we're splitting hairs over little things in the world. The same God that can take a rib out and make a woman can make the man and the woman with the same amount of ribs. Amen, but he didn't. Amen. Now you said, "I believe Adam had one short, so he died without one." I don't know. We can't do an autopsy to find out if he's one short. But I know this one thing. When his people came on down the road, his children were born, they had the same amount of ribs that everybody's got tonight or today. Unless it's deformed. Am I right? So you can split hairs on that if you want to. But what God's trying to get us to see is God took something out of Adam to make a woman. Adam had to sacrifice for the woman. People don't see this. That's what God's wanting us to see. What did Adam give up? He gave up a rib for her. He sacrificed something. And then he put her with him and said, "These two shall be one flesh." That is the first scripture in the Bible that points us to the coming of the church of Jesus Christ. Because we find on the cross of Calvary, what happened? God put a deep sleep on the Son of God. He gave up the ghost on the cross. The old soldier come along and pierced his side. And out of his side came forth blood and water. Jesus sacrificed something and gave something on the cross of Calvary. The church was birthed into this world. And it cost Jesus something. God took something from Christ to give it to the church. Now listen to me very carefully. Don't you think I'm out of the book and out of the Word of God. I want you to take this and chew over it while you're eating your dinner today. What did God take out of Christ and give to the church? He took eternal life and gave it to the church. Did He give up eternal life? No, He gave eternal life. God took eternal life out of the side of the Son of God and put it in the church and made the church a living organism. It's not a living organization. It's a living organism. Amen. And He put them two together. God said to Adam, what God joins together, let no man put asunder. And God says the same thing to the church in Jesus Christ. You're the bride. We're putting you together. And brother, the church has got eternal life. Amen. You may throw me out of the doors of this church. You may throw me out of the community for preaching the truth. You may not let me sing in the choir. I've known of people where they throwed them out of the choir and made them leave the church because they didn't sing right. And I've heard of people throwing people out for different reasons. They run preachers off and run church members off. But I'll tell you one thing. You may do that to me physically in the local church, but you can't take me and run me off out of the church of the living God. I'm saved for time and eternity. I belong to Him. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Amen. I'm telling you right now, I'm glad I'm part of the church. Amen. I passed from death unto life. I passed from darkness to His light. I've been brought out of bondage to His liberty. Amen. Give God the glory and the praise. Amen. I want to go to something else, and I'm going to quit. I'm tired. And I want to look in Acts 20:28. And I'm not going to do justice to what I'm fixing to say, because I don't have the time. But Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. He calls us flock. You know what a flock is? That's a sheep gathering. Now I read there's a sheepfold. You know what the difference between a sheepfold and a flock is? A sheepfold is something they've been put into with some confinement, with a door. Some folks are in the fold, and some folks in the flock. The flock has no limitations. The flock gathers around, but the flock don't just go anywhere. Where's the flock stay? Stays with the shepherd. So He said to the flock, just a little bit there to kind of open your mind, make you go home and think on it. He said to the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. What's it mean to feed the church? Well, let me ask you this. What do they eat? Amen. Reckon what you... If you're going to feed the church, what are you going to feed the church? You're going to feed them on the law? No. You're going to feed them on the commandments? You teach them the commandments, but you don't feed them the commandments? No. Here it tells us in verse 32 what we feed them. He said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. We feed them the Word of His grace. Now, what will the Word of His grace do? It will do two things in verse number 32. First of all, He said, which is able to build you up. The Word of His grace will build you up. Number two, and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. It'll build you up and give you an inheritance. That's what we're to feed. We're not to feed them on entertainment. We're not to feed them on amusement. We're not to feed them on things of this world. We don't have a church to have seminars. We're not here this morning to entertain one another. We're not here to try to talk about the things of the world. Brother, It's not the church's job to bring a Dr. So-and-so in here that can help you with your finances. It's my job to preach to you about Christ so that you'll get your finances in the right shape with Jesus. I firmly believe if we'll get back to the Word of God, it'll solve all the problems of men. Getting the Word of grace. Amen. So we do that. We preach it. We preach the truth. Amen. I believe we ought to look at that. after we've been purchased and redeemed, been brought to Christ and members of His church, I believe the two themes of our two theme songs of the church should be, and are, and ought to be, and I trust they are. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Amen! Right there. And then I believe the next thing that be on top of that is amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Sing it. That saved a wretch like me. That's it. Amen. The grace of God and the blood of Christ. That's what we feed on. I hear them now talking about contemporary songs and contemporary singing in our churches. And they was playing on the gospel spot the other day. And I was listening to some of it and I said, what in the world are they playing? And I somehow got the idea when I was riding down the road. Reminds me of a boy and girl getting in a car and driving down the road and looking at the stars. And he's looking over at her and sings a love song. And then you talk to him, they said, that's what it is, preacher. It's love songs to Jesus. But don't make them carnal. When I sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What's that? That's a love song to my Savior. I'm recognizing Him. I'm saying, Lord, I wouldn't be here if it was not for You. So I don't like all this stuff. You can have it. You can take and do with what you want to. Now, look with me. I'm going to mention this one more thing about this preaching. The word of His grace. You'll find out of Acts chapter 20, verse 28 down through verse number 32, you'll find the order of what God expects out of the man of God. Did you know what the sole job of the man of God in the church is? Yeah, preacher, I know exactly what it is. It's to go visit the church members. It's to go down to the hospital. It's to go down to the mortuaries. It's to go down there and pat this on the back. And when they got to pull a toenail, you make sure you're right there. You got to pray for them here and pray for them there. According to what I find out of the Word of God, I wish you'd give me some scriptures about that, would you? Show me what that's in the... The Bible teaches that the man of God, the overseer, that's who the preacher is. He's the overseer. What's the overseer's job? To feed the flock. What did He tell Peter? In the last chapter of the book of John. You love me, Peter? Yeah, feed my sheep. You love me, Peter? Yeah, feed my lambs. He didn't say, now, take care. Now, if I could just get you taught this. It's your job to help them pull the toenails. What makes you think that? And I go do it because I love to do it and want to do it. And I'm there, not because it's my duty, my obligation, so to speak. Amen. But once in my life, I'd like to see the church members beat me to the hospital. I'm not talking about going in to get surgery. I'm talking about, I'd like to go down to see somebody that's having surgery and get there, and half the church is sitting there before I get there. Amen. Preacher, we'll take care of this business. You get your head buried in that book. I want you to feed me Sunday. I want you to give me something to eat. That's what God said about the preacher. Amen. I better quit right there. I just better quit. Thank God. I'm telling the truth, though, ladies and gentlemen. All right. You can close your Bible. Bow your head. Close your eyes. We'll get an instrument. Come to the instruments. And let's sing. Get an invitation song. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you this. Are you a member of His church? I believe we ought to be members of churches like ours here. Because I believe that's what God wants, and I believe we ought to be baptized because God teaches us to be baptized. We're going to go in the service of the Lord. That's one of the requirements of service. It's not a requirement for salvation, but for service. And I believe this morning that when we come here, it's because we are already members of Christ's church. The church of God, the church of the living God, the church of the firstborn. I want you to stand, please. 368 at the bottom of the page on the blue book. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. How about it? Are you a member of His church? Are you a member of the church? The church of the living God.